Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my goodness!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
Yes! It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is Wednesday, August 29th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed, the Spitting Statistician. And every morning, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer and the King, Scott Engel, as we go boys to men on a Wednesday. How you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing good. You know, we added more to the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package yesterday. Check out how to scout kickers properly, why not to ignore them, and who can be this year's Greg Zuerlein. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount.
Interesting. Let me ask you about that right off the bat, and let me tell people that the number to call if they want to get down with us this hour is 844-843-6879. Remember, you could also hit us up on Twitter, at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. We're going to have a poll question up a little bit later on as well. Scotty, before we dive into these notes, you mentioned the kickers. Are kickers going away in fantasy football? I know our former colleague, the All-In Kid, had a platform of no kickers. You go over here scouting kickers in the package. I just look for a team with a good offense, and it's a plus if they happen to play in the dome. What else are we looking at?
I think it's more than that. I think people just ignore the kicker after they draft him, and you shouldn't do that because kickers can win you weeks when your other players don't play up to snuff, and you just can't go with a name and, you know, ignore the position like a lot of people do every week. It's not just being on a high-scoring team. I think you want to be on, have a guy that maybe is on a team where they sputter in the red zone, or I think that that's very interesting. You know, it's I think people forget about teams like that don't have a really good goal line back that can punch it in. They may settle for a lot of field goals.
Okay, fair enough. So maybe the Detroit Lions, remember Matt Prater was over there for a while, and he fits my other thing of I like teams kicking in the dome for 8 of their games, so that's an interesting call. Remember, make sure you go on over to the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package to learn a little bit more about that. You also, through this show, you will have a chance to win a Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package going into Labor Day because of our team name contest. I got a couple more submissions, Scotty, that we're going to bounce off you at the end of the show. And also, Scotty, over this weekend, I think, on Friday's show, we need to build the final poll, and we need to set that up because we're going to have to crown a winner when we come back after Labor Day, right?
Yeah, we're getting close here.
We're getting close to it, so, Tyler Bryson and Carl Anderson and some of the other guys that have been submitting multiple names are really in the running for that free Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Don't forget to enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. All right, Scotty, let's get into some of the news and notes that I saw around the league yesterday that kind of, you know, piqued my interest to get our analysis on it. The first, and listen, Scott, I have been saying this for a while, that Alshon Jeffrey has a long history of soft tissue injuries. He has been banged up. Last year was kind of the anomaly when he was actually healthy. Remember, he had off-season shoulder surgery, and there were rumblings for a little while that he might be on the PUP list. He quickly refuted that, but now Eagles are coming out and saying that it is likely he is going to miss, and these words I think are interesting, at least 2 games. So first of all, talk to me about what this means for Alshon Jeffrey and the wide receiver crew. Are you bumping up guys like Nelson Aguilar? I know you had a guy like Mac Hollins as one of your players to watch. I think this makes Mike Wallace potentially relevant. But to be quite honest, Scott, what I think this does is I think that this solidifies Zach Ertz as one of the top three tight ends.
Yeah, I think he's there anyway. Even if Alshon Jeffrey's there. Somebody else has to step up, though, there. And, you know, the inside injuries was talking about, you know, he could miss up to 6 games a few weeks ago. So, you know, maybe we'll see him in week 3 or week 4. Jeffrey's no stranger to injuries. This is an opportunity for Mac Hollins to step up. But, you know, he's been banged up throughout the preseason himself. So they're already talking about running two tight end sets. And in my new article on Seahawks.com this morning, in their fantasy section, I talk about how rookie Dallas Goedert, who had 13 catches in his first two preseason games, could become a bigger part of this offense immediately.
Interesting. You think Philly would go two tight ends like that? That good old 12 personnel, a little bit more than maybe we saw last year. They were a team that did have two tight ends out there. Whether that second tight end was Burton or Celek at times, they aren't necessarily a stranger to that personnel grouping.
No, they aren't. You know, and there's already reports coming out of Philly saying that's what they're going to do.
Okay, fair enough. Let me ask you this, Scotty, though. I go on over to mybookie.ag, and remember, you can enter the promo code FNTSY for a 50% deposit bonus. And listen, a week from tomorrow, Scotty, the NFL season kicks off in 8 days, and those Philadelphia Eagles will be at home raising the banner, right? So a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm there, right? They are currently 3.5-point favorites at home against the Atlanta Falcons. But I got to tell you, Scott, no Alshon Jeffrey. In all likelihood, it will be their backup quarterback under center in Nick Foles, who, quite frankly, has not looked that great this preseason. It looks like their starting running back, Jay Ajayi, has some mysterious, quote-unquote, lower body injury. We know about his knee history. If the Eagles are running with their backup quarterback, without their number one wideout, without their starting running back, I think I'm getting the points. I think I'm taking Atlanta, who a lot of people have said, you know, they like the way Matt Ryan has looked this preseason, expect a bounce back from him, second year in the Sarkisian system. They look to be more healthy. I think I'm betting the dog over the Super Bowl champions when they raise the banner. What do you think, Scott?
I can see why you're doing it. The only thing is, I'll say, you know, Nick Foles didn't look good this preseason, but like we saw during the Super Bowl run, he can run hot and cold. You never know which Nick Foles is going to show up. And they still have a pretty darn good defense, but yeah, I can certainly see where you're going on that. It's, you know, Nelson Aguilar, you know, and Zach Ertz are probably going to eat up a lot of targets. And, you know, if Darren Sproles is healthy, like they're saying, you know, he could get some catches out of the backfield. Can Atlanta pull an upset here in Philly? Well, Philly's looking depleted, so I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. Darren Sproles, an interesting name to note, especially in PPR leagues. But here's the thing, Scotty. For me, what I did is I looked at the spread. I'm getting 3.5, okay? And as people know, Scotty, 3 and 7 are really the key numbers in betting, right? So when I, and that half point, that hook, as they call it in the industry, 3 and the hook, I might take that because, listen, I don't need them to pull the upset. You know what I mean, Scotty? But could I easily see, you know, like a 24-21 kind of game, you know, a 24-20, a close game? I think that is something I can see. And so I'd be interested in taking the points personally, especially because of all the injuries we've seen in Philly. But we'll see that in 8 days. Another piece of news that I thought was very interesting, Scotty, again, with your Seahawks, Baldwin and the crew up there are saying that he's going to be playing pretty much at 80 to 85%. this year, that this is something that need that's going to probably linger throughout the season. Now, Baldwin is a veteran. He's gritty. He's going to grind it out. But, you know, this is something you don't want people, especially your number one wideout, being, you know, kind of already banged up entering the season. We talked about KJ Wright also. You know, I'm sorry to say it, Scott. I'm not trying to pile on, but things do not look good for the Seahawks out the gate. Rashad Penny also, you know, 15 pounds heavy with a broken finger. A lot of things trending in the wrong direction for Seattle, Scotty. What's up with Baldwin?
You don't have to say you're sorry. You know, this is what it is. It's,
yeah, I know. I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to pile on your team. That's all. You know what I mean?
Look, you know, I'm objective when it comes to the Seahawks with the fantasy reporting. You know, this is not about how I feel about them as a team or to pile on. We have to talk about this. You know, that's not what it's about whatsoever. Okay? You know, inside injuries was saying in the preseason this is something that could linger. So, you know, this maybe pushes Baldwin from like, you know, a high-end wide receiver 2 to like a wide receiver 3. Fortunately, in my dynasty league, I also have Adam Thielen and Antonio Brown, and I can have Baldwin as the luxury of my wide receiver 3. You know, he's a terrific route runner, but, you know, he can also get deep. He's very versatile. You know, this could affect, but it also gives the opportunity for other guys to step forward in the passing game. Russell Wilson is such an excellent quarterback that I always say this, the best quarterbacks in the NFL make the guys around them better. So you have to start knowing the names of who else is there. I like Jerron Brown a lot. I think he's a big sleeper and, you know, could really become somebody that Russell Wilson becomes very friendly with very quickly. Brandon Marshall has had a good camp. There was one report out of Seattle that he may not make the roster. I think that's completely inaccurate, but he doesn't offer any upside. I think if Baldwin gets hurt, one deep name to know is second-year wide receiver David Moore, who's had a terrific, terrific preseason and, you know, has really started to connect with all of the quarterbacks there, not just Wilson. So, but to me, Jerron Brown is the guy to watch. Doug Baldwin is now wide receiver 3. Bumping him down in my ranks before the weekend starts. There's a lot of injuries on this squad. The offensive line is looking better, but everything else, there are injuries all over the defense, too.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, let me ask you one name you did not mention, who I think, to be quite honest, outside of Baldwin, is the guy who I would be most excited about is Tyler Lockett. Would you bump Tyler Lockett up because of this news around Baldwin?
No, I wouldn't, because Tyler Lockett cannot step forward and, you know, play a prime role in an offense. I think he's a guy who, you know, if you ask him to be a top target in that offense, I think it might be a little overwhelming for him. I think what Wilson's going to do, he's not a possession receiver. Well, I think what Wilson's going to do is he's going to work more.
Lockett, you're talking about, is not a possession receiver.
Yeah, he's not a possession receiver. I think it'll become a matter of spreading the ball around. I think Jerron Brown has a lot of upside, and Tyler Lockett always has trouble staying healthy. You know, that's something else too.
Fair enough. Here's the thing that one last question on this one. You know, when I think Doug Baldwin, when I think Tyler Lockett, when I think Jerron Brown, none of these guys are really those big-bodied X guys, which brings my attention to Brandon Marshall. They lose Jimmy Graham in the offseason as well. Can Brandon Marshall turn out to be, like, a legitimate red zone target? Like, what's the ceiling in terms of touchdowns for Brandon Marshall? Could you see Brandon Marshall coming down if he stays healthy throughout the year? Can you see him coming down with 7 touchdowns, Scott?
Yeah, maybe 5 or 6. Yeah, I could see it, but it almost would be like a Jimmy Graham type of situation where he's not doing a hell of a lot outside of the 20s. You know, Brandon Marshall may be rosterable now as like a wide receiver 5/6, but you know, Jerron Brown is my favorite out of this offense. I felt like he always got open in Arizona, you know, reviewing some of the film, and he didn't get hit. The thing about Russell Wilson is watching him play with like the second team receivers in the preseason. Here's the thing. It's like we talk about guys like Geronimo Allison or Philip Dorsett stepping up. You know, Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You have to know who his receivers are. If you don't know the name, somebody from that group is going to step up who you've never heard of before, and he's going to be a waiver pickup.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I agree. Think about it over in New England, right? There's been times when guys like Malcolm Mitchell, you know, have become
Rashay Caldwell.
Exactly. And so, like you say, the best quarterbacks make people around them better. I got a question from Twitter, Scott, that I thought was interesting and I wanted to ask you about. I had Alessandro Flores on Twitter. He hit me up and asked me, it relates to Doug Baldwin. And he said, now with this news on Baldwin and it lingering, you know, he said he was concerned with Baldwin and that he got a trade offer where he would send away Doug Baldwin. And in return, I think this is interesting, Scott, he'd get a wide receiver back one for one. And that wide receiver is Julian Edelman. Would you do it?
That's interesting.
Because, you know, it is interesting.
Baldwin would commit four games down the line and you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't know if Baldwin's going to be healthy in three games enough to go. You know, Edelman for weeks five and beyond, I would definitely prefer over Baldwin at this point, right? But you don't know Baldwin's health. You don't know what is the impact above replacement in those first four games. I thought it was a very interesting question. To be quite honest, Scott, personally, I think I might be leaning towards Julian Edelman, and here's why. Our man, you said it before, our guy Tony Cincotta, our former colleague who absolutely gets it done, always says, you're not really drafting for September. You're drafting for, you know, Thanksgiving, right? And here's the thing, on Thanksgiving, we know Julian Edelman will be playing, or at least we think, and we know Doug Baldwin, if he's starting the season at 85%, he'll be something less than 85% come the fantasy playoffs. I actually lean towards Edelman, but when I thought about it, I was a little bit surprised. What do you think, Scotty?
I can see that. Like, I'm leaning your way too, because at least I know when he comes back, he's going to be 100%. Whereas with Baldwin, I just don't know how long this is going to linger. What I know is Edelman's missing time now, but Baldwin could miss it down the line.
Right. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. I am very concerned with players. Remember, we were talking about it in June and July. I was making fun of all the, like, stories about, oh, he's in the best shape of his life. Oh, he, you know, changed his diet, all that good stuff, right? Everybody's in the best shape of their life now. For the person who's already like, oh, I'm at 80, 85%, to me, that is a big concern. So I agree with you. I think I'm leading Edelman on this. So it's very, very interesting. Thanks for the question out there, Alessandro Flores. Remember, so many ways you can join the show. Hey, Scotty, one more piece of news that I want to bounce off you before we go into the break. I'm seeing that the NFL is still reviewing the Robbie Anderson case. Remember, he got in trouble with the law down there in Florida. And here's the thing. There's now a cloud maybe hanging over Robbie Anderson. There's still a cloud hanging over Martavis Bryant. Did he fail a test or not? There's still a cloud hanging over LeSean McCoy. How do you treat these players? And when will the NFL get more consistent with this stuff, Scotty? It's really starting to bother me, because I got to know, you know, if Robbie Anderson, LeSean McCoy, Martavis Bryant, and others are going to be available.
These are not things that they're like injuries. There's no answer for them, and there's not going to be any answer for them, and you have to deal with it, period. It's, you want answers, you're not getting answers. We look for reassurance in fantasy football a lot of times. A lot of times it does not exist. You just bump the guys down your draft board accordingly. You know, I still have Anderson as a high-end wide receiver too. I got LeSean McCoy's top 15 rather than, say, top 12 because of that. Martavis Bryant, I don't trust him regardless.
No, I hear you. I mean, Martavis Bryant to me is nothing more than a late round flyer or a best ball kind of guy, potentially. But still, this idea of, you know, something hanging over his head, will he get suspended or not, is really, it's messed up for real teams. It's messed up for fantasy teams as well. Scotty, I want to tell the people, don't forget to check out Fantasy Factor. It is the only exclusive single entry DFS site. They got free rolls registering all the time, promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million survival contest as well, starting this week. That's over at fantasyfactor.com. When we come back, more news and notes, and we break down our draft in the high stakes internal league coming up next. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto Experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge Fantasy Package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge Fantasy Package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, promo code FNTSY.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember yesterday, we had as a team name submission to Tajay Sharp, Dressed Man. Scotty, you thought it was all right. We got a couple more submissions that will bounce off you a little bit later on because we are kind of closing out our contest this week here on Roto Experts in the Morning. I want to let people know also, Scotty, that DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have a chance to win big this year alongside SportsGrid CEO Jeremy Stein. He's one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat for the following week. Head on over to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how you can get in the action and share some of the $25,000 in action. That's right, dailyroto.com/sweat. Hey, Scotty, don't forget, people can also get the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package entering the promo code THEKING at checkout. And we're going to give a free one to someone who wins our fantasy team name contest. They're even going to get a personalized call from you to help set their lineup. Scotty, we heard from Le'Veon Bell yesterday. There was a report that he's going to report on Labor Day. You know, right going into week one, he refuted that on social media, saying that that was fake news. I guess maybe he doesn't want to, like, show his hand. But listen, nobody's concerned, really. No one's expressed any concern, but we're now only a week and a half away from the season. Lev Bell is still not there. Listen, I believe he'll be in shape. He'll be able to hit the ground running. He knows the offense and all that. But at some point, you got to start wondering, like, Lev Bell owners need to grab some James Conner as well, I would think. What do you think happens? He just winds up week one in Cleveland and is good to go, his old same Le'Veon Bell self, or is it something different?
The same as last year. You know, he missed all of preseason last year, showed up for the first game, played, wasn't too impressive, wasn't back in form by week three. But then again, you know, Todd Gurley hasn't played a single season snap either. So, you know, they want to keep him in bubble wrap as well. So to me, it's kind of the same thing.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, let me ask you this, though, Scotty, because, you know, I was asking you about James Conner. There's names to know out there in terms of some other handcuffs, right? So I wanted to ask you, who do you think is, like, the most important handcuff that is out there? When I was thinking about it, Scott, you know, there were names like James Conner, names like Austin Eckler, names like Chase Edmonds, the young rookie out of Florida out of Fordham that we mentioned because of an injury in Arizona. You know, like, I'm not talking about guys like timeshares, you know, so the answer is not Tevin Coleman, right? Because I don't see him as, like, a pure handcuff. I see him as part of a legitimate timeshare. You know what I mean? The answer is not a Patriots running back. You know what I mean? But for the guys who are straight up handcuffs, who do you think, you know, either has the most potential or is actually, like, the best back? You know, I think about Eckler, I think about Connor, I think about Edmonds as handcuffs people must know and need to have. Who else do you think about in that vein?
It's interesting because we do have a running back handcuffs regular update in the Exclusive Edge package from George Kurtz to the King at checkout for a special discount. But I think it's obvious, you know, you want to have the handcuffs, you know, to the top four superstar running backs there. And, you know, a lot of people really don't know who it is for the Rams. And I don't see them drafting, you know, this kid at all.
Kelly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, John Kelly, the rookie. You know, a lot of people still think it's Malcolm Brown. So you have to be updated on, you know, on that stuff as well. If you're going to draft Saquon Barkley, I think you have to have Wayne Gallman as well. If you draft Kareem Hunt, you have to have Spencer Ware if you can get him. But, you know, not everybody, right. not all running backs have a direct handcuff, because sometimes when one guy goes down, it may take two to step up for him. Because, like, the Titans, you have a timeshare there. If Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis were to go down, maybe one of them would become more of a full-time back. Maybe Henry would, but I couldn't see Deion Lewis getting all the carries. You know, it's a mess in Washington right now. When Darius Geis went down, you know, they had to sign Adrian Peterson. Some people thought Chris Thompson was the guy, and he's not. So not all these battles are decided, too. You know, it's like the Colts are looking really bad. You know, they might open the season with Christian Michael as their starter, and Robert Turbin might eventually be the guy.
Yeah, don't forget about the rookie out of Ole Miss, Jordan Wilkins, there in Indianapolis, and our guy Nyheim Hines, who looks like he still has some development to do to be able to get on the field in Indianapolis. You mentioned in New York with Saquon, and you mentioned Wayne Gallman. What about Jonathan Stewart there in New York, Scotty?
He's had a really bad preseason. I think, yeah, if anything, they'd rather give the ball to Gallman.
All right, fair enough. So let's, hey, Bavona, down there in the fantasy pit of misery, dilly-dilly to you. You were a little premature with this yesterday, but it's all good. Let's get that poll question up. I want to know, who is the best pure handcuff in fantasy football? Is it Eckler? Is it a guy like Chase Edmonds? Is it James Conner? Or is it someone else? The Roto experts want to know. So you could hit us up on a poll out there at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. Scotty, speaking of Twitter, I got another question that I wanted to ask you about, and I'm giving you the disclaimer that I'm going to ask you in a general sense, and I know you don't like kind of painting a broad brush, but I do think this one is important, okay? I got a question from J.J. Brown. It was a trade proposition, okay? And to be quite honest, the names, I'll tell you the names, but the names don't really matter. It was a two-for-one trade, okay, where the one that this guy was going to have to give up was Davante Adams. And the two players that he was going to get back was like a wide receiver, I forget, that was like worse than Davante Adams, like a back-end wide receiver too, and like another fringe starter at the running back position. And he was like, should I do this trade? And I said, no, keep Davante Adams. And I get so many trade questions like this, Scotty, that are two-for-one deals. And I always say, in fantasy football, you are looking for guys who can help win you weeks. You're trying to accumulate those studs. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have injury concerns, if you have bye week concerns, I understand in those cases needing to have the quantity. But in most cases, Scott, I'd much rather I have the quality over the quantity. I very rarely accept a two-for-one deal where I'm getting the two. I feel like I'm usually trying to propose two-for-one deals where I get the one. I like the quality of the one over the two in these kind of two-for-one trades. What do you think about that? Is there, I mean, I know you don't like these general rules of thumb, but I usually like the one side in two-for-one deals, Scotty.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. But usually it's stacking quantity for quality, and you know, the more sometimes you see 3-for-1s as well, and you know, those are all quantity for quality. By the way, to answer your question, I would say maybe the best pure backup running backs in the league, guys could start for other teams, probably James Conner and T.J. Yeldon.
T.J. Yeldon is a very interesting one. That is, I think that is definitely interesting. You know, even up in Buffalo, we've seen Chris Ivory start before in his career. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that he's like the quality yeah. at this point anymore. But, you know, that is interesting. We have seen some, you know, starter level backs, you know, and I don't know that I would call him a handcuff, but a guy like Giovanni Bernard has been viable in the past as well. It is definitely interesting. Get on out there and vote over there at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty RotoX, at Roto Experts. We got the poll question up. We will check in on that later on in the show. But you agree there, Scott, right, with the two-for-ones? I prefer the quality side, generally.
It does, but, you know, sometimes it really all depends on the deal. You know, if it's a 3-for-1, 95% of the time, you're not going to take it. But there are some two-for-ones mm-hmm. that, you know, they do make sense.
All right, fair enough. This one specifically, he was going to give up Davante Adams. I checked. He's getting back Allen Robinson and Carlos Hyde. For me, that's not enough because the drop in.
I wouldn't do it. You're talking wide receiver 2 and running back 3
right.
for a top exactly. 5 wide receiver. You know, I'm not going to pull the trigger on that. But if you say if you said he was offering maybe you know like I would say like 25% of all 2-for-1s are acceptable, I think.
I agree with you, Scott. For me, you know, like, unless for some reason you really need a guy like Carlos Hyde, and like I agree with you, he's a flex kind of guy to me, you probably have someone on your roster already that you're designing to put in the flex where the jump, if there is a jump to Carlos Hyde, is smaller than the drop going down from Davante Adams, who I have as like a number 6 wide receiver overall, you know, down to Allen Robinson, who's probably in the late teens, probably a back-end wide receiver too. I think that, you know, drop is far more than any kind of gain you're getting being able to move Carlos Hyde into you know, a flex position or even a starting position like that. All right, Scotty, what I got to let people know here is that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast and easy payment of your winnings. And that's what you really want, right? When you win that cash, you want to get paid, all right? So they can you can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is running sign-up and deposit promotions year-round. For a limited time, you can use the promo code FNTSY. BetDSI, they're offering up to $2,500 as a bonus on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. Head on over and start winning today. Scotty, one thing we said we were going to do is we're going to look at our Carton and Friends draft. Remember, on Sunday, we all got together. The studio was packed, huh, Scotty? We had 12 teams, you know, everybody from our producers, the you know, Chris Bavona and Bones forming a team, me and Mike Blewett representing FST. You had Frankie Stanfill, the guys from Frenzy, the guys from Carton and Friends, including your team, which is kind of, I don't know, Scott, are you the co-owner or are you just like the consigliere on that team, the a consultant, an advisor? What is your role specifically for Beauty and the Beast?
I think Mike Cardano is the owner.
Oh, okay.
Michelle is the head coach. And I am the general manager in charge of player personnel.
I see. That's how it works. So and so, wait a second. If you're the head coach in terms of player personnel, your job is largely done.
No, I'm the general manager. Yeah.
Fine. You're the general manager, yeah. Player personnel. To me, if you say that Michelle is the head coach is the one who decides who starts. Is that right?
Yeah, but she can consult the general manager.
I see. Okay. Because for me, the general manager, like the old good old Bill Parcells, you know, quote, you're shopping for the groceries. So the draft and like the waiver wire is you. But it sounds like Michelle gets to decide who she sits and who she starts. I think that should be it. Beauty and the Beast, Michelle Serpico and the King, Scott Engel. But it was fun there. Michelle had some great analysis of some of those picks, huh, Scotty?
Yeah, she's ready to roam the sidelines.
All right, fair enough. Sounds good. Maybe she should wear some khakis like our man Harbaugh, but she'll probably have something more interesting to roam the sidelines. And let's talk about these teams. Hey, Scotty, I'm looking right now at your running backs. I'm looking at your running backs, okay? You got a ton of them. You have a ton of them. Kenyon Drake, Duke Johnson, Deontay Foreman, Nick Chubb, Tariq Cohen, Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch. That's a lot of running backs, okay? And I feel about your running backs similar to the way I feel about my team's wide receivers. You have quantity. It looks like, I mean, I guess you're going, are you going Kenyon Drake and then deciding on a week-to-week basis between Marshawn Lynch and Tariq Cohen? How are you playing this? Is Drake your number one?
Drake's my number two. We have David Johnson.
Ah, D. Johnson. Okay, I was worried that that's... Yeah. I thought that was Duke Johnson.
No.
Excuse me.
No, I don't draft Duke Johnson, no. That was our first round
pick. No, that's fine.
David Johnson.
When I
Drake a lot, and you're right. You know, the third spot is going to be between Cohen and Lynch.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I'm looking at a view right now that just has the grid of everybody, and I just saw D. Johnson, so I didn't see that it was, you know, D. Johnson, your first-round pick. That would have made it a little bit clearer. Okay, so that changes things a lot, right? And then here's my question for you. This is also one of those leagues, Scotty, and we debated this on air, where there is no trades, right? There are no trades. So I feel like you... Tell me why you have Kenyon Drake and then Frank Gore in a team where there was, you know, there's no trade, so you got the handcuff there. My team were a little bit upset. We have Melvin Gordon. We lost out on what we just said, Austin Eckler, as his handcuff. With a league like this with no trades, are you more or less likely to try and get that handcuff or that committee? In this case, you have Drake and Gore. Are you almost like rooting for an injury to one of them?
No. You know, okay. it was the 18th round and he was still there, and you know, it made sense at that point. I don't actively go looking for handcuffs because that could change throughout the year. And you know, I have Nick Chubb, and you know, if Carlos Hyde gets injured, I'm going to use Nick Chubb over Frank Gore if both the starting running backs there are going to get injured. So Gore was, you know, we were very deep in the draft, and I figured, okay, at this point, there's nothing left but handcuffs. There's no upside. So that's because it was such a deep draft. By the way, it You know, unless they put Kalen Ballage in there, it's not a committee.
Fair enough, but then again, they might. You never know, okay? I think Miami is going to have to exhaust all their options to try to find some offense. You and I both think that they're going to be one of the underperforming teams this year in the AFC East.
I do like Drake. I do like Drake. You watch the last preseason game, 30-yard run, 36-yard reception. It's going to be a lot of volume for him, both as a runner and a receiver.
Okay, fair enough. Kenyon Drake, I'm looking right now in your rankings. You have him as RB16 in PPR formats. You have him above Jordan Howard in PPR formats, who a lot of guys like. A lot of people think Jordan Howard will continue to be underrated, will continue to get his 1,000 yards. I honestly, Scotty, I'm not sure if I'm on the Jordan Howard train this year. I just think there's now all of a sudden a lot more options in Chicago and a lot more dynamic options as well. Think about them going out and getting Allen Robinson, Trey Burton. You know, obviously there's Tariq Cohen there as well. A lot of people like the rookie Anthony Miller out of the slot. You clearly like Tariq Cohen. You have, I think, multiple shares of him. I've seen you drafting him. Talk to me, at some point, does this impact Howard and his volume? Because he was a volume guy. So there's now other mouths to feed. Are you concerned at all about Howard's volume this year?
That's why I don't have him. I got a few spots lower than other experts, but I still think he's going to be relevant just because he's a very good downhill runner behind a very good offensive line. If this offense is going to improve, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to finish near the goal line.
All right, fair enough. Let me ask you about one other running back that you have that I am very intrigued by. I have a couple of shares of him. Houston Texans running back, Deontay Foreman. I would love to hear what Inside Injuries has to say about him. You know, he's coming back from Achilles, which is a very tough injury to return from, especially for a running back, right? You got to figure that. But as you know, I've said it on this air, we've got a long-running joke at the network about Lamar Miller and Corey Parsons, the fantasy executive's thoughts on him. And we talk about how you draft, you know, looking for the best possible team you can have in November and December. Scotty, what percent chance, in your opinion, is Dante Foreman the starting running back for the Houston Texans come Thanksgiving and beyond? Do you think he can leapfrog Lamar Miller this year?
It's hard to say. You know, you have to take the chance, but he's coming back from an Achilles injury, and Inside Injuries is probably, like, you know, from what I've read, it's like they're ruling him out basically for the first half of the season. So he's a draft and stash guy that is really a wild card. And again, you know, we're looking for answers that don't exist. Nobody knows exactly how he's going to heal. At first we heard that he was progressing well. Now he can miss 6 to 8 weeks, you know, of the regular season. So you got to draft and stash him and hope he's useful for the stretch run.
Yeah, fair enough. You also have Carson Wentz on your squad as your lead quarterback. Remember, here it looks like he may not make it week one, but that's okay. You got Jared Goff as a backup. Remember, another example about why quarterbacks are so deep. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Roto Experts in the Morning. When we come back, we got some team names to go through, and we'll look at me and Mike Lewis' team here in the Cardinal Friends League as well. It's the King, Scott Engel, the Spitting Statistician. Roto Experts in the Morning. Come on, right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 7 to 8 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday, getting you ready for the football season, getting you ready for drafts, getting you ready to analyze some of what you did in drafts. And that's what we're doing. We're talking about our internal league with a lot of the hosts here on the network. We got together on Sunday. You know, Scott, you, me, Blewett, Ventra, Corey Parsons, Frank the Tank, Greg Sussman, and others. You know, we're going to be competing for a little bit of that cash. Nice little high stakes kind of action. I partnered with Mike Blewett, forming an FST kind of team. And Scotty, for me, this was completely – our draft was such an example of letting the draft come to you. Okay, there were two – at least there were three situations, Scotty, where in this draft, me and Mike were looking at each other. We were like, I wouldn't do this normally, but we kind of can't ignore what we saw as value. You know what I mean, Scotty? And that's what we talk about when it's like you can't go into the draft being like, I'm going to get running back. I'm going to go blah, blah, blah. I'm going to wait on this. You know, that sort of thing, because you never know, okay? We drafted Melvin Gordon in the first round, you know, and towards the back end of the first round. You know, nothing crazy, right? And then as soon as we made our pick, Blewett and I started looking at, because we both were agreement of like leaning towards running backs and on the comeback. You know, we were like, let's look at what running backs will still be there. We were like, oh, maybe Joe Mixon will still be there. Oh, maybe Devontae Freeman will still be there. Blah, 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 blah. Then it comes back to us. And with our second round pick, we hear some of the wide receivers going, right? We hear Odell going. You remember, Scotty, DeAndre Hopkins went incredibly late in this draft. He was a second round pick in this draft. I think he went like 14 or 15 overall. And then on our way back, Michael Thomas is just staring at us right there. Blewett had him as his number 5 overall wide receiver. I had him as like number 6 or 7. So we snapped him up, right? And then I'm of the mindset, I want to get my running backs early because they're so, you know, workhorses are so few and far between. But then in the third round, where Blewett and I were still looking at running backs, we wanted to get that running back, who is staring there right there in the kind of mid to late round 3? We had the 8th pick, so we're talking about like 32, 33 overall. Scotty, Rob Gronkowski was still there. So we go ahead and pull the trigger and get the number 1 tight end off the board, Scott, at round 3, but it was 3.8. You know what I mean? At like pick 32. At some point, there's value there, right? What do you think about Gronk at pick 32, Scott?
Yeah, I would have passed on him. Yeah, to me, you know, taking Gronk, you know, that early with such a key pick for your team, you know, he's always plays well when he's healthy, but he's such a big injury risk, you know, especially now that it's later in his career. I love what you guys did the first two rounds, and it's a great example of, you know, letting the draft come to you. Like I said, we always get so many questions like, what do you think, you know, if I should go running back, wide receiver, you know, there's no set plan. And there's other people who want to identify certain players. Well, I mock so. These are usually the players that come around. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't fall to the second round of a lot of drafts. So every single draft is different. You know, the good example, you got to let it come to you. I see people taking Gronk in the second and third round. You know, I think that bumps back what you could do with running back and wide receiver. I'd rather wait and take a Jack Doyle, a Kyle Rudolph, you know, even a Trey Burton, you know, they'd take a risk on Gronk and have him miss 5-6 games.
Yeah, listen, I hear you. And we were both like, ah, we don't like doing this. I think I even said it out loud before we announced the pick. But at some point, we just thought the value was too good to pass up. And we thought, listen, we can't scoff at having a week-to-week advantage at tight end, you know, assuming, obviously, that he's healthy. And then here's how we backed it up, though, Scott. We got, you know, because I told you, we were then worried about our running backs, right? We had Melvin Gordon, who we're very happy and comfortable with. But look at then, we have three other running backs who we think are going to, you know, in essence, represent incredible value at some point this season. You know, in the fourth round, nobody wanted Shady McCoy, so we took him. You know, Shady McCoy in the fourth round, Scott, this is a guy who, if he's playing 15, 16 games, he could be very easily be a top 10 running back. We got him in round 4. Then what did we also do in round 5 or 6? We go and get Mark Ingram, another guy who can be a top 10 running back when he is playing. And then we also grab Sony Michel later on in the draft, and now reports are that he looks like he could be trending to be able to suit up in round 1. Yeah, obviously, he's part of a committee up there in New England, and we'll see. But to address kind of how we didn't have running backs to start, we got McCoy in the 4th. Then we get Mark Ingram later on and Sony Michel earlier on. How do you think we adjusted, you know, using the Gronk pick with these other running backs? You know, Ingram coming off suspension, McCoy in the 4th round, Scott.
Yeah, you know, McCoy's 30 years old. He's banged up.
It's true.
And, you know, he could be in danger of a suspension, but the 4th round is where he's going. I don't think it's value, but I think that's right where you should get LeSean McCoy. So it's a solid pick. When Mark Ingram comes back, you know, he can easily be your RB2. and, you know, Sony Michel as flex possibilities. Who are your wide receivers outside of Hopkins?
It's not Hopkins. It's Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas. Who are you?
Our wide receivers one. Yeah, so there is our issue. We're going to probably – I mean, we have a lot of guys who I think are just okay. You know, I think we have a bunch of wide receiver threes.
I know
I think
you got Emmanuel
Sanders.
We have
three wide receiver threes. Manny Sanders. I'm happy with Nelson Aguilar now, especially with this Jeffrey news. And then and Randall Cobb. It's going to be those three guys for two spots.
Yeah. That's what happens Sanders, when you take Gronk early in the third round. You sacrifice something at another position. That's what
often that's
happens.
What we think.
What you should never do in the first four rounds is take a quarterback and a tight end together. That's a no-no.
No, absolutely not. We didn't do that. We waited. I believe we were like the last team in the league to draft a quarterback, and then we did it, and then we invested in our second quarterback, you know, only three rounds later. We wound up with Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan. So we are very comfortable with those two guys. One of those guys is going to wind up being top eight this year. You know what I mean, Scott?
Yeah. Who is your quarterback?
That's what I just said. I said we wound up, we waited on quarterback, and then went, you know, kind of two rounds later, we wound up with Stafford and Ryan.
Yeah, that's
which I think is fine.
Stafford's going to be very efficient this year, and
they're both going to be just fine.
Ryan's a good backup. You can even stream those two, you know, based on how they're playing. It's just we saw Phillip Rivers go so late, and it's a crime. I think he went in like the 14th round or something like that. Nobody wants Rivers because there's no perceived upside. Nobody is satisfied with a guy who's like top eight last year and top 10 five of the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. There's no perceived upside for Rivers. You could win with Rivers. You could wait till the 12th to 14th round and get him and be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Rivers was, I believe, like a 12th round pick from Young Cardano in our GST league last weekend. Rivers, to me, you know, these are the guys, you know, Rivers, Stafford, these are some of the guys that I'm targeting that I've seen go, you know, 10th round or later in drafts. It's absolutely ridiculous. I look at our draft on Sunday, when you talk about Phillip Rivers, it was the benevolent stranger, John, I believe his name is, one of our listeners. He does have Phillip Rivers, but Scotty, he has three quarterbacks on his team. Phillip Rivers, and he already had Cam Newton, who was obviously his earlier investment in quarterback. Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, and our guy, Tyrod. So he has three quarterbacks, Scott.
Tyrod. Yeah, I don't think he needs three quarterbacks. I think getting a third one is a wasted pick.
Yeah, a little bit much. You know, maybe he thought because Tyrod would cede the job eventually to Baker Mayfield, but you don't really need to do that with Cam Newton and Phillip Rivers. To be honest, if you're spending the draft capital on Cam Newton, you know, then all you really need in this kind of league, if you're drafting him that high, you're expecting to start Cam Newton every single week except for his bye, right? So you're just looking for a guy you know, who has a good matchup in that 1 week or is ready just in case there is injury to step on in. Well, there you have it. Listen, Scotty, I've been looking at some of these teams. There is some dead money in this league, and I'm very excited that we got a high-stakes league where we can go ahead and, you know, really threaten to win some cash. I look at some of these teams, you know, unfortunately, a guy like Gabe Morency, who, you know, had some connection issues. We look at the weekend Warriors out there. He's got Dalvin Cook, right? But then his other running backs, Adrian Peterson, LeGarrette Blount, are the two running backs that he's going to have to choose to be his RB2 on a week-to-week basis. Outside of that, he just has
Jeremy Hill and Corey Clement.
That's Gabe Morency.
Okay, yeah.
That's Gabe Morency. His running backs on his roster. Okay, I'll take Dalvin Cook. That's fine, right? But outside of that, literally, in my opinion, he's starting LeGarrette Blount or Adrian Peterson. I don't believe in Adrian Peterson. I think it's a big-time committee in Washington. And LeGarrette Blount is also part of a big-time committee in Detroit and a committee where I think he's going to eventually lose share over time to Kerryon Johnson. So I think later in the season, the Weehawken Warriors are really going to be struggling at the running back position.
Yeah, it's and there's no trades in this league, so
exactly.
He's in the hole already. Yeah,
exactly. And in a similar vein, the team Sun Luck, I don't want to get, you know, too hard on them. Those are Carton's kids, right? They went very heavy at running back and at wide receiver. Listen, you know, they have Julio Jones, who I like, but not many other, you know, they're starting Jordy Nelson, who I think is washed. They're starting Golden Tate. You know how much we love Galladay. And then we're talking about, you know, Sterling Shepard, fine. But then guys like Chester Rogers, DeSean Jackson, Ted Ginn, I think they're struggling at wide receiver big time. And you got to start.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay with Tate as a wide receiver too, though. They should be.
And then they'd have to use Shepard as their wide receiver three. That's okay. But you got to remember, Scotty, in this league, you know, where no trades are happening, it's such a war of attrition. Every team will have injuries. So I think depth is even a little bit more important in this format, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. That's why we went heavy running back, wide receiver depth. I don't even
think
absolutely.
All right, Scotty. Yeah, you know, hey, I can't. They also took a kicker, like in round 13 or something like that. But hey, I digress. It's the kids, you know, against the experts. That's where they're going to, you know, you live and learn, right? All it takes is, that's what it takes. It takes practice. Listen to my man, Allen Iverson. All right, but in any event, let's close out the show here, Scotty, with some team names. I got a couple I want to bounce off you. Remember, we are trying to narrow it down to our best options. I think, Scotty, on Friday's show. Okay, we need to spend some time on Friday's show building a poll that we will have last for, say, like 4 or 5 days over the long extended holiday weekend to crown our champion. I got some more I want to bounce off you. Let's see if any of these make your top cut. I don't know at this point if it's 5, 6, 7, or 8, but let's see if any belong in further consideration. The first one is from Mike Husky out there. We haven't heard this guy's name being
Mikey
used
Husky.
In a pun much. You know him? All right, great. Friend of the show. And I kind of like it. What about Pimpin' Ain't Breezy? Drew Brees.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm going to put that in my list of further consideration. I don't know if it's going to make my top five either, but I do kind of like it. I do like it. I can't front.
Yeah.
I like that one. What about Carl Anderson? Our guy Carl Anderson now, he's got a number of submissions, so I'm going to reel them off for you, and then I want to find out from you of these submissions which you think are the best. There's Deshaun Watson, your mind. There is Sherlock Mahomes. There is, you know,
okay,
the tight
one,
end.
One at a time here. One at a time.
Sorry. Okay.
Deshaun Watson
in your mind. What's on your mind?
It's not bad. That's not bad, but it doesn't quite make my top five. I do like it, though.
Okay. Sherlock Mahomes. We've heard a lot of Patty Mahomes. Mahomes.
I kind of like Make This House Mahomes Better.
The best of all the Mahomes ones. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Remember, there is the Denver tight end who was on injured reserve last year out of Michigan, who I'm surprised a lot of people haven't used more in team names. I'm talking about Jake Butt. So this guy says, I like big butts. You know, I cannot lie. Yeah. What do you think about that, Scott? I think it's too easy.
That's too simple. We can do better.
Too
than
easy,
that.
Right? Too obvious kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. There's two guys, one cup.
That's not bad.
Not bad. We've seen better out of Carl Anderson, in my opinion, potentially. But those are the ones from Carl Anderson. Thanks for always submitting them to the show. We appreciate you as a listener and part of Roto Experts in the Morning. I got a couple more. Hunt for Kareem Pye. Christopher Columbus.
I like that. I like that.
You like it? Hunt for Kareem Pye. You want me to put this up in your list for further consideration?
Yes. Hunt for Kareem Pye. And who's
okay,
that
you're
from?
Putting it up there right now. That is from Christopher Columbus. His name is really, on Twitter, Christopher Columbus. I'm imagining it has something to do with Christopher Columbus. Two more from our guy Tyler Bryson. Kind of, I think, our leading candidate now for the winner of this contest overall. You know, he's got two more. I think this is it. Two more that are pretty good. One is, you know, the big social media app right now, Scotty. I know you're not a millennial, but I know you know about Instagram. What about Insta Jimmy Graham? Insta Jimmy Graham.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Not bad.
But
I think it's not bad, but I also think it's
six. I like Hunt for Kareem Pye a little better.
And I think Tyler has come through with, you know, some better ones personally, right? So I don't think this is even
mean,
in the top three
Taylor.
Of his.
Yeah.
Taylor, my bad. Taylor. And then the last one, also from Taylor, last Manning standing.
Nah.
Nah.
He's done a lot.
Right.
He's done a lot better. He's still my number one,
better.
And he's still my number four. He's my one, four, and six. Carry on, my wayward son. Oak Saquon, you see in lights, Kamara action.
And then, listen, I have other Taylor nominees in mind. Stairway to Evans and my Ingram toenail Ertz. That's a top five of just Tyler right there. You know what I mean? So he's definitely been a strong contender. We'll figure this out on Friday's show, Scott. How about we dedicate a good chunk of time?
Yeah. He also has 900.
I know, that's what it's like. You know what it's like? It's like these guys putting 50 lineups into a DFS tournament. That's why we tell people to go on over to Fantasy Factor, where it's just the single-entry tournaments, right? But we got to spend a chunk of time on Friday talking about this. Another great show in the book, Scotty. Don't forget to vote on our poll as well. We were asking you who is the best handcuff right now. 58% of you say James Conner. 19% say Austin Eckler. 16% say other options. You've mentioned Kelly with the Rams, TJ Yeldon in Jacksonville as well. You got to think about sometimes guys maybe that have an injury history of the lead backs, right? So Leonard Fournette, Flix and Chill does have that injury history. You wonder if TJ Yeldon will get out there a little bit. And remember, we still don't know. Technically, Le'Veon Bell hasn't reported yet. So James Conner, 58% of the vote. Good show, Scotty, today. It sounds like you're going to have some new content in the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package coming out. What do you got coming out in the package?
We'll let you know in the morning. It's going to be a surprise, but I'm working on something.
Ooh, it's going to be a surprise, but you are working on something. We'll dig into it a little bit on tomorrow's episode of Roto Experts in the Morning. Don't forget to enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. Don't forget to sweat with us at Daily Roto. We are going to be gone. We'll talk again tomorrow. Blewett joins the fun coming up next at Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great show. Have a great day, Scotty. Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.